I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
This is Religion Today with Martin Tanner, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. This is our second in a two-part series about the translation of the Book of Mormon. Last week, we discussed the Wentworth letter and the fact that the Book of Mormon was always described by Joseph Smith to be done by the gift and power of God. There's a little bit more to the story than that. And today, I wanted to provide a little bit more information that might give some insights into exactly what may have happened in the translation process as Joseph Smith rendered into English the Book of Mormon by the gift and power of God. What was going on? Well, we know that at the beginning, Joseph Smith used what is called the Urim and Thummim. That would be a description for the Nephite interpreters. This is a different Urim and Thummim than we read about in the Old Testament. We know that because the brother of Jared created a Urim and Thummim and then carried them with him to the New World. So was not somehow his having possession of the same Urim and Thummim that are mentioned in the Old Testament. This Urim and Thummim would be different. And so, can there be more than one Urim and Thummim? Absolutely. Now, the whole phrase Urim and Thummim is more of a description than a specific object. Let me say what I mean by that. The seer stone was often described as a Urim and Thummim. Spectacles were often described as Urim and Thummim. Nephite interpreters were described as Urim and Thummim. And we also have other descriptions in the church where ultimately all those who are faithful will have a Urim and Thummim, and that the entire earth will at one point become a great Urim and Thummim. So this phrase, Urim and Thummim, seems to be a description of great knowledge and power rather than reference to some specific object. Hence, we should have no problem at all understanding that there are not just Urim and Thummim from the Old World mentioned in the Old Testament and from the New World in connection with the brother of Jared, but also when we hear descriptions like the first presidency has the Urim and Thummim, well, maybe that's the seer stone. Maybe it's the Nephite interpreters. But typically, most people think that when the 116 pages were lost, that the Nephite interpreters, that Urim and Thummim, was taken back by Angel Moroni, and that other references after that were a seer stone or some other object that was also called a Urim and Thummim. For example, in 1870, Emma Smith said this in response to a question by Mrs. George W. Pilgrim. Emma said, quote, "Now, the first that my husband translated was by the use of Urim and Thummim. And that was the part that Martin Harris lost. After that, he used a small stone. Close quote. Now that infers that at the beginning, the Book of Mormon was translated with the Nephite spectacles, the two stones set between the bows, and that after the 116 pages was lost, those were taken away by the angel, and the seer stone was used, the same seer stone that the church has now made public photos of, which is quite fascinating and amazing to me. I love seeing pictures of that. You can take a look at it on the internet anytime you so choose. Now, another comment before we jump into more detail about how Joseph Smith may have used the Urim and Thummim or the seer stone and what translation would have looked like. People seem to be troubled by this phrase that Joseph would put the seer stone into a hat and translate that way. Now, this people make fun of this, but they shouldn't make any more fun of that than when someone is at home and you want to watch home movies or Netflix or TV, or if you're out in the sunshine and you want to actually look at the face of your smartphone, that you, in the case of your home, close your drapes, make the room a little bit darker so it's easier to see. Or in the case of your smartphone, you move so that it's in the shadows. That's what was going on here. There's nothing more to it than that. And by the way, this description has been around for a long, long time. Let's take a quick look at some of the descriptions. One description that was made, and this was by David Whitmer, said that one character at a time would appear in the seer stone, and that Joseph Smith would read it. I don't believe that for a minute. We don't have anything that said that Joseph Smith, except for certain specific words, spelled everything out word for word. According to someone else, Edward Stevenson, to be specific, Martin Harris talked to him about the translation process, and Martin Harris said that sentences would appear. Well, sentences are a little different than characters one by one. One character at a time is different than one sentence at a time. Now, those can't both be right. I would also point out that no one other than Joseph Smith was in a position to know this. And so how would Martin Harris or David Whitmer know what Joseph Smith actually saw in the Urim and Thummim or seer stone? I would submit that they would not know. And here's an interesting point. In Doctrine and Covenants, section 9, verses 7 and 8, it says, you must study it out in your mind. That, to me, implies that what you see in the seer stone is not words or characters. Because if that's all it took, Oliver Cowdery would have succeeded. He wouldn't have failed in translating. Because if all Oliver Cowdery had to do was just read a sentence, he was as good at that as Joseph Smith. If all he had to do was read character by character, he was as good at that as Joseph Smith, but he failed. And the Doctrine and Covenants says you must study it out in your mind. You don't have to study a character or a sentence out in your mind. So this implies something more than just merely looking into something and reading. Let's take a look at Mosiah chapter 8, verses 13 through 18, about what it is to be a seer. Because this, to me, is the crux of the whole thing. Because when you look at Mosiah 8, 13 through 18, it says that a seer can translate because he is the wherewith, meaning the means and the ability, so that he can look. It says look All right, we're just about out of time for this segment. If you would like to be in touch with me about this or any other program, send me an email. Send it to martinstanner@gmail.com. If you have a question about some other subject, you're welcome to do that too. We'll be right back on the other side of this break with more about the translation process of the Book of Mormon. This is the good stuff. Stay tuned.
Religion Today with Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We're back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. This is the second in a two-part series about the translation of the Book of Mormon. We know that Joseph Smith said, by way of summary, that he did this by the gift and power of God. We know that David Whitmer, Martin Harris, and others talked about Joseph Smith seeing sentences or characters. I don't believe that. That does not work because it seems to contradict with Doctrine and Covenants, Section 9, verses 7 and 8, saying that you must study it out in your mind. What's to study out in your mind if you're just reading something? Mosiah 8, 13 through 18 tells us what a seer is. It says a seer can translate, for he has the wherewith, meaning the means and the ability, so that he can look, he's seeing something. And the things are called interpreters, and no man can look in them except he be commanded. And who is commanded to look in them is called a seer. And by the way, the word seer derives from see, seer. That is a seer. You see something. Ammon goes on and says that a seer is a revelator and a prophet, and a gift which is greater no man can have. A seer can know of things which are past, which are to come, secret things made manifest. And he goes on and describes a little bit more. A seer literally sees things. A prophet has impressions and can have visions and can hear God's voice. A seer is a prophet, but a prophet who doesn't have seer stones or this specific gift is not a seer. He is a prophet. The focus of a seer is on translating ancient records. A seer actually sees things. Joseph Smith describes seeing things in the seer stone and in the Urim and Thummim, but he did not see sentences. Let's take a look at some other descriptions of what Urim and Thummim look like, what seer stones might do. On December 27th of 1841, Brigham Young met with the 12, and he made a comment along these lines. I'll paraphrase it. He said that Joseph Smith used to converse with us and that we met with him on a wide variety of subjects and explained that the Urim and Thummim, which he had with the plates, was what the Book of Mormon calls interpreters. And he said that every person who lives on the earth was entitled to a seer stone and should have one, but they are kept from them in consequence of their wickedness. And most of those who do find one make an evil use of it. And then he went on to say that Joseph Smith had showed him his seer stone. You can take a look at this comment by Brigham Young in the Millennial Star in volume 26 at page 118. Heber C. Kimball said that Brigham Young for a while had the seer stone. Well, that is entirely possible. Heber C. Kimball also said that Brigham Young had the Urim and Thummim. Well, that would not be possible if he's talking about the Nephite interpreters because they went back to the angel when the 116 pages were lost. But if Heber C. Kimball is talking about the Urim and Thummim, yes, because ultimately the seer stone wound up with the church, as we now know. The church has made photos of that available for copying on the internet. The Bible Dictionary describes what the two words Urim and Thummim mean, lights and perfections. Urim and Thummim is something that is described, at least the one that Joseph Smith had, as being given to the brother of Jared by Jesus, by the pre-existent Jesus, the pre-mortal Jesus. Lucy Mack Smith and many others also saw the Urim and Thummim, in addition to the seer stone. By that, I'm talking about the Nephite interpreters. Lucy Mack said this. This is a great quote. Quote, I took the article in my hands. This is something that Joseph Smith handed her. And examining it with no covering but a silk handkerchief, and found that it consisted of two smooth three-cornered diamonds set in glass. And the glasses were set in silver bows connected with each other much the same way that old-fashioned spectacles are made, close quote. This is in the history of Joseph Smith. It's a great description, and it's the same kind of description that we hear from other people as well. Martin Harris had a similar description. He said, quote, the two stones set in a bow of silver were about 2 inches in diameter, round, and about 5/8 of an inch thick. In other words, they're a little more than 1/2 inch thick at the center. They were thinner at the edges. They were joined by a round bar of silver about 3/8 of an inch in diameter, about 4 inches long, which with the two stones would make 8 inches. The stones were white like polished marble with a few gray streaks. And then Martin Harris goes on to say that he never dared to look into them. Now, he also describes when he was the scribe, which happened early on, that the plates were lying next to Joseph Smith covered up with a tophrach. We also know that this was not some kind of a placebo effect, because at one point Martin Harris found a rock that looked a lot like the seer stone and substituted it, but Joseph Smith was unable to translate. This implies that the seer stone was more than just some kind of a catalyst or placebo. Here is a fascinating statement by Joseph Smith himself about how the Nephite interpreters worked, about how the Urim and Thummim, and presumably after that, the seer stone worked. He describes this to Joseph Knight Sr. This is Joseph Smith talking. Quote, it is 10 times better than I expected. And then he, Joseph Smith, went on to say the length and width and thickness of the plates. And then Joseph Smith said, quote, they appear to be gold. And about the rest of the conversation, this is what Joseph Knight Sr. said, quote, but he seemed to think more of the glasses or the Urim and Thummim than he did of the plates. For he said, quote, this is Joseph Smith, I can see anything. They are marvelous, close quote. So Joseph Smith himself says he can see anything in the Urim and Thummim. Did he see more than just translation? Well, there's a description of him actually borrowing Fox's Book of Martyrs and being able to look into the Urim and Thummim to see about the martyrs. We also have descriptions in Ether Chapter 3 that talks about these two stones shall, quote, magnify to the eyes of men these things which ye shall write. And it talks in Ether Chapter 3 about sight and about vision and about seeing things. This implies strongly that what Joseph Smith saw in the Urim and Thummim and in the seer stone was actual events, actual people, actual experiences, more like, I would use as a metaphor, a movie or a motion picture. Or maybe he actually saw the events in vision as they had occurred. That's more, I believe, what was going on with the seer stone than just the simple explanation of the gift and power of God. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.